what are you going to make of the sewing machine?
Yeah, sewing machines go with that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, to see however he, you know, will be able to deal with those. He's probably going to have to be relying heavily on the sheets anyway and figure out why we've done what we've done there.
Yeah.
And figure out what we've got to talk about.
We don't have any.
Not here?
Yeah.
Well, it's good shot. What we've got, you know, that's why we want to get it together with this job. Maybe one of those things, somebody wake up one morning and they're out of it. And we'll all say, well, why didn't we think of that before?
There would have to be one that doesn't have any problems. So.
Yeah, I know. So far we haven't. Well, I didn't get quite finished. I got a wisdom tooth pulled yesterday, so I was kind of out of it last night. But I got all but about three of them done, so they'll be back to you next Tuesday. Tell me for sure.
Yesterday
was 1 hour. I know. I've only had one lap, so yeah, I had 3/4 of my wisdom gone already.
I thought, well, you must have
these things. You should have gotten together with that professor down at Green River.
Yeah, right.
These people never came in.
Is that right? They never came in at all? So you just had to have some put in or what?
No, these are my babies.
Oh, is that right?
Uh-huh. And then two wisdom teeth didn't come.
When is
it? I've never heard of it. Somebody getting all the teeth except for little babies.
They say it happens quite a bit. They're not that surprised.
Oh, they see it.
Every time I come to a new dentist, they usually say that the dentist that I had when I was a little kid should have taken them out and by a bridge pulled all the other ones together.
No,
but I'm kind of.
There's that much variation in the dental pattern. Of course, we know there's tremendous variation. All these conclusions that are drawn about eight-part men, the basis of teeth tooth structure. If they could get a whole Nebraska, the Nebraska man from a tooth and extinct pig, the precision isn't real. Nucleus of man, and then they found the rest of the skeleton was a pig.
That wasn't a pig.
And the prophet said, an evil day is coming.
A little too intimidated.
Yes. Okay, well, let's go ahead and plug on here so that we can come up with translation here, section A, part of that lesson 26. Number one, just read the Hebrew phrase and translate it. Doug, start with you.
Yes, goodbye. Mm-hmm. Let me lie down.
Mm-hmm. Let me lie down. Let me lie down.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, that I might lie down. Okay, number two, Jim.
Refresh my vocabulary.
From Darash.
Yeah. Okay. Let us seek.
Right, let us seek. Let us seek or let us inquire. Number three, fear.
The car is to remember, so it's
mm-hmm.
Use core.
Mm-hmm.
It can't just be perfect because you've got a rule of schwa, so it's probably various.
Well, not really.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe your text will fit in mine, but use the core is just your normal.
Imperfect.
Yeah, it's imperfect, but it could be adjusted too. And I suppose in this lesson they probably want, you can give it either way, but you probably want to assume it's adjusted, I guess.
He will remember?
Yeah. He will remember if it's imperfect, and if you took adjusted, what it would be? What would it be? Let him remember. Oh, that he would remember. Let him remember. Expressing a wish. Okay? So, the form, of course, would be any different just before, at least for this particular verb. Later on, we'll get some verbs that have a slightly different form of just when we do the imperfect. So, we have that again. Okay, number four, Daniel.
Nishtara.
Mm-hmm.
Let us sleep. Lie down.
Okay. This is from Shabar, though. Yeah, you got what? They're also similar. Shachar is to lie down, but Shabar is to.
Oh. Let us break.
Break, yes, okay. Break or smash, right? Okay, it's a lot more violent term there. Okay, then number five, Eric. Ish loves up. Okay.
Let me sleep.
Yes, sir. Let us. Excuse me. Yeah, you're right. Let me see. Let me see. Let me rest. Let me see. Let me rest. Okay. Number six.
The talk.
Mm-hmm.
Let's the door.
Mm-hmm. Who's the door?
Who's the door?
Right, open and close. Right. Okay. Is there a definite constitution here or not? Anybody?
No,
it's not. Because it's just normal form. And you use the imperative again. If you had a definite constitution, you'd start out with an imperative and then continue to convert it further. Okay, number seven.
Kiri, what, kiss B.
Mm-hmm.
Call and write.
Right, call and write. Okay, call and write. All right, and I guess that word call can also mean to read aloud. To read aloud in certain situations too. So that may be what's intended here. Read aloud and write. For the carry and the kissy. And the carry was read and the piece was written. And then they come from Katab and Karat. Okay, then number eight, going back to Doug.
Shibaru.
Break
and
break and then to break and burn, and it is constitution here, so you might put the then in the break and then burn, just to express that, because when you're starting out with an imperative and then you're going to a perfect form, converted perfect form, still masculine plural, the first masculine plural, I mean the second is masculine plural. Okay, number nine, Jim.
Shimeu. Without him.
Right. We dot them.
We dot them.
Okay.
Hear and then understand.
Yes, hear and then understand or know or whatever you want to say. Mm-hmm. And then again, there is constitution here also, because you have to go into a perfect form. And the we dot them is just because when you put wow in front of a the old shawa, you convert to hear it the old.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, number 10, Peter.
Mm-hmm. Do what Tishmalu.
Right, what Tishmalu. Okay.
I can't remember Ahmad.
Ahmad means to stand. So that you may hear. Stand so that you may hear. See, this is that third series there. Could be imperative plus imperative, plus imperfect or perfective. And you don't have the converted form. See, it's got its normal form here. That's what's tipping you off here.
What do you mean, a converted form?
Well, converted form would be for the imperfects. For the perfects, it doesn't make much difference because you still get get the same form of the conjunction. But when you have a converted imperfect form, that in other words, it's converted because its meaning is perfect, you would have a wa plus the doubling. You'd have that different form of it. This kind of a series uses the normal unconverted form of the conjunction would. And so you can tell you're not looking at a wa consecutive type of thing when you see an imperfect, which is the normal wa on it. It could be either just a non-constitution of a string of imperfect listed, or it might be one of these series. And you look at the series here, you can see that's what it is. You're starting out with an imperative, and then you're going to an imperfect, and that would be translated. You get a so that idea there. So in this case, it stands so that you may hear.
What's the difference between the world?
Nine and ten. In number nine, we have they both start out with imperatives, but number nine follows up with a perfect form. You got ten.
Oh, I see.
And ten follows with an imperfect form.
Probably.
But that's the chapter. But there's no difference in the form of the conjunction. That it's just a matter of perfect versus imperfect. And if you start with an imperative and go to a perfect, then you've got constitution. You're starting it's analogous to walk consecutive series of constitutions. You've got a converted perfect now following. And then number 10 is just an unconverted form of the imperfect that's following, and that's giving you the idea so that. So it's kind of tricky. I mean, on the surface it looks the same, but you've got to watch all the T's and Q's, as it were. All the yokes and cows and wows and all the rest. Okay, any questions? Does everybody see the difference between number 9 and number 10? Or what series you're dealing with? Number 9 is an example of the B series over here on page 119. Number 9 is an example of the B series, and number 10 is an example of the C series. Specifically starting with imperative and then continuing imperfect. Now, it's possible to start with an imperative and continue with coordinate. That would be more like, if it was these verbs, it would be stand so that I may hear. Or if you want to stand so that he may hear, then you could use adjustive. Or, well, I guess you just have to use the third person imperfect form or adjustive form.
there, but the point is that you can use different persons and numbers for either side of the thing. Okay, everybody satisfied with that? All right, number part B, give the Hebrew for the following orally. Who are we at now? Vice President? Okay, Daniel, okay. Let us make a treaty. Remember that idiom for making a treaty, cutting a covenant.
Nikrasa?
Mm-hmm. Yes, Nikrasa Bari. Nikrasa Bari. Okay, just a coordinative form. Just use the imperfect form and then put that comma through on it. Of course, you get a shortening of the whole, too. So, instead of Nikrol, it's Nikrasa. Okay, number two, let him eat a fish. Let him eat the fish. Let him eat the fish. Yokal et Hadad. Yes, Yokal et Hadad. Yokal et Hadad. That could also mean he will eat the fish, too. Just a matter of the context of the fact that it's just. Yes. Yeah, it's only on the first person form that you get to count today. It's only on the coordinate that you get to count today.
And the Joseph is the one that can be ambiguous?
Yes, Joseph can be ambiguous as far as the forms we've had so far. There will be some verbs that won't be ambiguous for. There'll be a change. But the majority of verbs is ambiguous. Only you get some stranger weaknesses in verbs that can get different. Okay. So since you're going from English to Hebrew, of course, there's no ambiguity. I mean, we're wanting to use the justice, and so. But if you saw the phrase Yochal et Adad, the context would have to decide whether it's let him eat the fish or he will eat the fish. Okay, let us seize their property, right?
You got that through me now.
Okay.
How am I going to quit that? Have my noon for my what do we do?
It is a problem. The answer is you have to look. This is an oddball verb. It's ahaz, and so they gave you where is it? It should be up here somewhere.
Vocab.
Yeah, it's in the vocab, but I thought they mentioned it.
Okay.
Yeah. We've got Yochez. He gets a theory. And I'm going to do some figuring on this one. I remember which one this one was. You get a colon in the preformative on this guy, which is strange. Yeah. Well, it's because it's one of the mixed forms. It has. Let me see now. I suppose you could do it with either one here. Did I get both of them here? No, I didn't. And it seems like I ran into a problem when I made the other one. I got all kinds of interesting cryptic notes on this one. Seems like we had a lot of fun with this one before. So let's go ahead with the colon type. I think that's the only one that really works. But so if you have Yochez, what would be that's the third person's form under that analogy. What would be the predicted?
No case out.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Right. There'd be no case for the normal first person. And then if you want to put the on, then you put the on there, and the seri would reduce to shawab. It could, but since it's a guttural, it has to go to katan pata. So what we ended up with was no kaza, no kaza. Okay, and that's probably as hard as they get. To be honest, that's about as tough as they get. Okay, so I'll spell it. Be nun with kolam, aleph quiescent, chet with chatat patak because it couldn't take shuwa, zion with kamate.
We got a lot of those words like that.
Right, not all of them have the two guttural thing, and not all of them get this mixture one. You know, this guy with the seri and the second one, that's totally anomalous. And so it's a real.
Now, I think I tried to do this, you know, they give another form, yes, so your other form, your third form would be net as close. But then, see, if you try to reduce, you want to put the a on there, then you'd have to reduce, you'd have to use a hakata papa on the chet, and that would raise some serious questions as to what's going to happen with this hakata. Now you've got two shawas in a row, you'd have to rule a shawa. And so you don't know whether if they all go to pasach or just what they do. So unless they give you a form for that in the back, you know, and give you the full paradigm, there's just no way to predict what they'll do. So since I could predict what the other one would do, that's what I use. Maybe we could take a quick look and see if they happen to give the full opinion on that, or give a coordinated form on that. All we really need. What was it?
B4B.
B4B, okay. Hopefully it isn't there, because otherwise we would have been figured out. No, just give you the same thing they give you in the rest of it. They'll give it what you would need is a cohortative form for that type of this goals to tell for sure. So let's see, maybe we should figure it out another way here. I didn't really take a lot of time to try to do this. I found the one that worked with that. There just may not be enough information. It doesn't look like it is. You kind of lose confidence when you're in this realm, you know, where everything is so irregular. Well, I think we better just stick with that form. That one we can figure out. Be pretty confident with. Okay.
Yeah.
And we have to finish it now, yeah? Okay.
No kaza. Yes. Rikushan.
Yes, Rikushan. Yes, Rikushan. Need the S because it's definite, because there's suffix on it. Okay, number four, let him smash the tables, the tablets of stone. Go.
Yishvar. F. Luchot. Hot heaven.
Okay, I think it's just Yishvar, unless this one is one of those hot balls. I think it is. Did they give the imperfect for Shabar as Papa type? For sure it's cold, in fact. It surprised you, though. If it is normal, okay. Yeah. It would be Yishvar then. Yishvar. Yeah. You've just been seeing so many Papa types now. That seems more regular than normal. Okay. Yeah, Yishvar, F, Lukos, Ha'evan. Any questions there? Okay, number five. Let us choose the king for ourselves. Or for us, is what they're... Okay,
Doug. Nivkara.
Right. Nivkara.
Manu Melek.
Yes. And remember, though, this verb to choose takes faith for its direct object. I mean, use the preposition base for that. I don't know if you remember that or not. So it's almost like let us choose us in a king or something like that. But the Melek would be the more like, let's choose this king. So Nivkara the Melek Lanu or Lanu the Melek. Okay. Was that one optional or do you remember?
I think it was optional.
Okay. Yeah, you could have, if it's optional, then you just drop the base off the step Melek. You wouldn't need an S because it's okay. Number six. May his name become great throughout the entire land. Jim?
Yigdal Shemo Bakol Ha'aretz.
All right, Yigdal Shemo B'chol Ha'aretz. Yigdal Shemo B'chol Ha'aretz. Okay. Good. Remember, the shame loses it, reduces to Shua, and the latest suffix is the Shemo, Shua, or something. It's like Bane. Number seven, may they hear our words and know that we are good men. Peter. You're using justice, but just, you know, it's just the same as imperfect.
Yishmaru.
Just the third person for also be Yadu, we Yadu. And the question comes up here, though, whether you've got constant, you know, a sequence starting, and you better assume that because you don't know what to do with the one rule in the imperfect yet. So I think you're pretty safe in assuming that. So yeah, so we Yadu. Yeah, you need something to express we, though, independently here. Otherwise, you wouldn't. You want the independent form of the word we.
Oh,
because you're setting a predicate construction. So when we want to say we are men good, you know, we are good men. So you need the form of we all by itself. Remember that absolute form?
Well, I can't.
Right, there's anoki for I, it's anachnu.
Anachnu.
Yeah. Ki anachnu anashim tovim. Okay. Ki anachnu anashim tovim. Okay, so that'd be Yishma'u es divareinu v'yada'u ki anachnu anashim tovim. Any questions? Any problems with that last clause construction there? We haven't seen enough of those, I don't think, but it's pretty simple construction, is my part.
No, was just the perfect?
Yes, you use the perfect there because the issue is, you see, it could be imperfect if you weren't trying to show a series, you know. He says, may they hear our words and know that we are good men. Likely because of this particular context that they're not going to know until they hear your words, so you pretty much got us here. I think that would be the preferable way to do it anyway, but you're pretty much stuck anyway because you elected to say to just make it a non-sequential thing. You'd be using the imperfect for yada, and you haven't had imperfects for one yod yet. You can see what the problem might be with one yod and it's imperfect. If you get another yod, you get two yods in a row. And so you might guess what's going to happen to some of us, but we'll have fun later on. Okay, the one yod is no problem in the perfect because you don't have prefixes. But once you get to the imperfect, well, you've got a prefix, and then the yod's the next letter. You often get this. It becomes a moder and so forth. You get that. So we'll have to develop that. So since you don't know what to do with it, you probably would have had a lot of fun trying to make a perfect form out of that. But you might have given up and gone to a series, and that's probably the right way to go here. Okay, number eight. Let me hear the words which the prophet spoke. Ben?
Eshma'a et ha-devarim asher amar anavi.
Right. Eshma'a, with the coordinated form there, Eshma'a, Es, Adivarim, Asher, Amar, Anabi. Okay, any questions there? All right. Part C, number one, translate. Read the Hebrew translate. Eric?
Kana, Hamele, Es, Bukhadab, Yomar, Tulbat, Ha'ir, Bukhadabu, Ha'oyabim, Es, Kanama.
Okay.
The king tore his garment and he said, the city will be destroyed and the enemy will bind its people.
Okay, right, bind its people or take its people captive, either one. Right. That's only because the English idiom happens to be the same, not because it's feminine in Hebrew that you're required to make it feminine in English.
Oh, it seems funny the way it talks about Jerusalem, your young men are left to you, that's like the personification.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
They just like to have that concept built into it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, so the king tore his garments, and his garments plural there, the suffix plural. So we'll get that. The king tore his garments and said, the city will be destroyed, and the enemies will take her people captive or bind her people. Or bind its people. Take its people captive. Okay, any questions? Okay, number two. Right.
The ochre. Yes. Sha'ar. Ha'ir. Wabba. Rock. Tent. Yamandu. Ahara. Ten. Yam. The. Tentu. Eskin, Wa, Aragu, Aragu, Eskin.
Mm-hmm.
I was all over for Eskin. I never could find it. It has to be you.
You're right. Yeah, it means you. Uh-huh. It's S with the phenomenal suffix on it.
Ah,
that lesson's there.
Back to basics.
Yeah, way back there. We've had, Osi and Osanu and that type of thing, but this is S, Ham, and S, same thing. So it's your direct object. It's using a pronominal direct object. So you need S plus the pronominal.
Page 31.
Page 31? Yeah, way back.
Probably the problem.
Yeah.
Okay. In the morning, I will open the gates of the city, and you will flee with us to the mountain, lest they find you and kill you?
Yes, lest they find you and kill you. Okay, and I think the only thing you had there, in the morning, they will open the gate. I think you said, I will open the gate, didn't you?
Yeah.
Just okay. Yeah, they will open
sure.
The gate. So, yittuhu, or pata, yittuhu, they will open the gate. Okay, in the morning, they will open the gate of the city, and you, Matthew Quirrell, will flee with us to the mountain. Lest they find you, that's the plural, I say. Okay, we've got 10 there with the imperfect there, and then continuing the series with the perfect. So we have lots of fun with verbs here. I wanted to ask one question about number one that I didn't get a chance to. Notice that form, Wayomar, at the end of the first clause, Wayomar. I think the normal form is Wayomer, with the Segal, and it's retracted stress. Why do we have the original form here, Wayomar, in this instance? If you look at number 8, you got Wayomer Hanabi. Here you got Wayomar. What's the reason for it?
Is it because it's not in a long consecutive?
Not exactly. They're both long consecutive.
It's because it immediately precedes what he said.
Exactly. Exactly. There's nothing interfering between the Wayomar is coming at the end of the first clause, and it immediately precedes the thing that's said. Whereas Wayomer Hanavi, that's coming at the beginning of the clause, and it's got a word after it, telling you who said it, and then your quotation starts. So that's the only difference. And Wyomer is really the unusual form. Wyomar is the normal form. Wyomer is a retracted stress and a shortening down to it. It's a goal. You can't really call it short. It's not like a short, too, but it feels shorter. Anyway,
sure.
Let me get that idea. Yeah.
If it's Yomer, it will be a part of the quote. If it's Yomar, it will be like a short.
Well, no, not really. It won't be part of the quote. See, when you say Wyomer Hanavi, that's not part of the quote. That's still introducing the quote. But the main thing is, are there any words in between the Yomar or Yomer and the quote itself? You know, in structure. And in the case of number 8, there are. The word Navi is all between the two. Whereas in number 1, there are no words between the Yomar and the quote. So I think it's probably a stretcher to use it aside. Okay. Any other questions on number 2? Okay, then Phil, number 3.
Mishnah Oto El Milchava Vuyobad Sham.
Yes. Okay.
Let us send him to the battle so that he may die there.
Yes, right. Let us send him to the battle so that he might die there. Okay. Very sure. Is that David? Okay. Number 4. Any questions on that, though, by the way?
Is imperative plus the perfect?
Well, it's cohortative. Cohortative plus the perfect. Well, no, excuse me. It's cohortative plus an imperfect. Excuse me. Imperfect with a normal unconverted form. So this is that where you're getting the so that. Example of series B. This one, you're starting with cohortative and you're continuing with imperfect. And you don't have converted, you don't have the law conversive form. So that it's telling you that you've got the so that meaning. So let us send him to the battle so that he might perish there. Actually, we're starting to get into the clause relationships even now. We're going to do a lot more of this later on, but we're already beginning it here. So you're getting this purpose idea here, so that just from there's no particular word there that means so that. It's just being derived from the kinds of forms that you're using in one clause and the other. And you'll see people do a lot of things like that. Okay, number 4. See, Bill is last. Steph?
I have a question back on number 2 still.
Number 2, okay.
Figure it out, yeah. That 10,
mm-hmm.
I can't remember what we said in the translation here. Does that carry through to negate both of those verbs in the series?
Well, yeah, effectively it does, because you see what's happened is 10 means so that not, so that or less. And then it's left everything that follows that's connected in the series. See, the thing that makes that thing, that 10, apply to both is the fact that the next form, you start with less and then you use an imperfect, and the next one is a converted perfect, so it's going to be locked together with that series. If you didn't have that as a converted perfect, now there might be a question. If that was another imperfect, then there'd be a question as to whether the pen would be applying to that or not. Probably would not. You'd be, in fact, starting a new series.
And, so if they said, let's say, lest they find you and you escape from their grasp,
mm-hmm.
If it was in an imperfect,
mm-hmm.
It might be saying, lest when they find you, although you might escape. And
right. It might be, lest they find you, and then you will escape their grasp. It's just a separate independent statement.
Yeah.
So, in this particular case, it's not going to generate a gigantic difference in meaning, but in some situations, it very well could. Okay. In other words, if you didn't have this in a series, then you kind of have a comma there and just another prediction independent of what's come before. So this way, you can effectively, in English, you could say, lest they find you and lest they kill you. You know? You could almost supply the lest again, because it is a series. And it's locked together, that thing. Right.
So that they will not find you.
Right.
They will not kill you.
Exactly. That's another way you could do it, so that they will not find you, so that will not kill you. Another way to translate
that.
Is it
just easier to take 10 as lest?
I don't know. I suppose it gets me less confused, you know. So you're not worrying about putting the word "not" in there. That's fine. Of course, "less" is more of an old English expression. We don't use that so much now. I suppose we don't really use "unless" quite the same way either. So If you're staying with King James English, it's easy. Okay.
Or if you get flowery and say, so that, you know, if perchance.
Yeah, if perchance. They do that in King James too with this very word pen. They'll do that sometimes. Perchance or, you know, that's very different. And of course now Lama'an has the same type of situation with positive. You'll have Lama'an and you'll have an imperfect, and then you can continue with that with a converted perfect if you want to make it all of them. All the verbs that you're saying there, the kind of the purpose that you're looking at. Okay. Number four, I guess. Was that the only question you had enough?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
On the firing line now.
Yesru Rodam Ulakak 10.
Good. Translation.
Bind them and then take them outside.
Take an outside word into the outside. Yes, Peter?
Yeah, I thought that was one of the C types. That's one of the B types?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right. The B type, you've got starting with an imperative and a converted perfect. See, the kaktem is a perfect form. The kaktem. So you're starting, so it's a B-type series, imperative plus perfect. So that's giving you your constitution, sequential. Okay. Number five, Jim?
Sigaru F. Sha'ar Ha'ir Ki Ba Ha'oyev Alena.
Okay.
Close the gate of the city, for the enemy is coming upon us.
Yes, right. Coming upon us or coming against us. That's what they do. Yes, close the gate of the city, because the enemy is coming against us or coming upon us. Good. Okay. Yes, you have to take that as a participle here. This is the place where the ambiguity does occur. That's the only thing, is context that has to decide it. You have context in
you got the barn, the horse in this case.
One thing too, another thing that may help you sometimes is that if ba is first, if you have a more of a tendency. See, ba ha'oyev would be, if that's all you had, you'd be more likely to take that as verbal in a perfect sense. And if it was ha'oyev ba, then you'd be more likely to take that as the participle. But you've got context that overrides that. This context is, it's hard, you don't want to close the gate of the city because the enemy has come against it. I mean, if they're already in the gate of the city, you don't want to close and keep them in, so I guess that it's just context that has to decide that.
So that
was one of those.
It
looks like it. Yeah, you get the OA pattern. But were you thinking OA was the participle here? Or was that right? Because it's got the OA pattern. But normal pattern is. The normal pattern is that. But with these short verbs, these hollow verbs, you get a different pattern. So does anybody have a page number on that or something like that?
We'll find out.
Right, they gave a paradigm for them.
What?
Com and Ba.
Yeah, lesson 14.
Okay.
There's an ambiguity with Com and Ba between the third person perfect and
They give the paradigm for Com in the participle. I guess they didn't write out the paradigm for Ba, but
yeah,
it's the same thing.
Page.
Oh, it is? Okay. Okay, well, that's just for common there. I was talking about, okay. They give the paradigm for the finite form of the verb for ba, but they didn't write out the paradigm for the participle for ba. But it's the same as come. So it'd just be ba, and ba, and ba, and ba, o. All right, that was number five, was it? Okay, number six?
I had one other question.
All right.
The Dagesh Forte has dropped out of the Ba because it was preceded by Hirigyo.
Right, yeah. Kiva, just because of the Hirigyo preceding.
Okay.
Yeah. Any other questions? Okay, number six, Peter.
Thank you.
Oh, dude.
Oh. I'm sorry.
This was so hard.
Avika.
Okay, good.
She will love your mother and your father.
Okay, well, second person, though. It's not she, it's second person.
I thought that was ambiguous. I thought it could go either way.
Well, yes, yeah, you're right.
I didn't.
And the problem is that it could be just a prediction. She will, okay, well, it's supposed to be one of the Ten Commandments.
You shall love.
You shall love your mother and your father.
Really?
But it's not an imperative form here. It's an imperfect form. Second person, so this is what's called an indirect imperative, if you use it this way. So you're technically right, I couldn't count you wrong on a test. Could be she will love. But the trouble is, it sounds a little strange to say she will love your mother and your father. See, because your tip drops because of the second person suffix is on the noun as to which way to take the first one. But you know, a person might want to say she will love.
Yes, at a wedding.
Yeah, right. I mean, you can construct context and you can make sense.
So you're saying that the Ten Commandments is written?
Well, I'm not sure now. I don't know if this is actually. I'd have to check the commandments to see whether it's an imperative or whether it's this indirect imperative. Sometimes this indirect imperative can almost be stronger, just because you shall love your mother and your father. You know, it's almost God's predicting it, and you know, this is the way it's going to be. But you just have to check it. To see.
I wonder if the indirect imperative is kind of difficult to say. Love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is difficult.
I wonder if there's a difference in those commandments.
Well, yes. I see what you're saying there, too. It gets to be a kind of a thing where it's hard to command a person just to love out and out. But to say it this way, you shall love your father and your mother, you know, it's almost saying, this is what I expect you to do. This is what I expect of you. This is the result that I expect of you. How you get there, you know, it's up to you, but this is what I want you to do. There's a sense to it. It's real hard to put in words, but I don't know for sure on this one whether you're actually going to see in the text an indirect imperative here or just a regular imperative form. We're going to grab it with Exodus 20. We'll probably find it pretty quick.
It's an indirect imperative.
Yes.
The word
I think we had the word for mother back there. And remember, the word for mother and the word for nation are easily confused. And, it wasn't for nation. It was for the preposition in, with.
I didn't usually have it. It's in, or with, and I.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to find some way to work it.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So I thought it's got to be something else, and I looked at it back.
You looked in the back and found it? Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe I thought it was in the vocabulary. Maybe it wasn't.
It was in a little gloss, I think.
Oh, okay. It might have been. It might have been in the paradigm or something like that.
Yeah.
That does mean mother. Okay. Yeah, you're right. It's I-N with that. You got to watch all of those things. I-Ns and all of them get you every time. It's not only do they sound alike, but you know, when you quickly glance through, they look alike too. After a while, your brain doesn't.
Yeah, well, the other problem is that they don't sound alike. I mean, they both don't sound. They both sound silent.
Right. They both don't sound alike, yeah. They both don't sound alike. Okay. In a like manner, they both don't sound alike. All right, number seven. Any other questions on number six? That's the only problem that we're having. Okay, number seven. I don't know, I forgot what we were talking about.
Okay.
Yo vedu harishai ki ein lahem Yeshua.
Okay.
Let the evil ones perish because they have no salvation.
Yes. I mean, let the evil ones or evil men or evil ones perish because they have no salvation. Or you could just take it as a just imperfect, yeah. The evil men will perish because they have no salvation. It could be either one. Mm-hmm. Okay, number eight, Eric.
Bayonel, Hanadi, Yom, La, La, Zulnaga, Elohim, Ephem, Yoheb, Dinnefem, E, Lo, Shumatem, El, Po, Nabi, 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 O, Lodo, Shemar, Ten, Yes, Miso, Hatora.
Okay.
The prophet said, an evil day has come, and God has smitten you and your sons, for you all have not listened to the voice of his prophet, and you have not observed the commandments of the Lord.
Okay, good, good. It said an evil day has come or came, you know, it's just a perfect here. It could be a participle, I suppose, but when you follow on and see that the next verb is perfect and so forth, then we most likely, I think the best way to translate this that Eric did there, has come in a perfect, completed action type of thing. The prophet said an evil day has come and God has smitten you, or God, you know, if you just went simple past all, you would say, an evil day came and God smote you and your sons because you did not hear the voice of his prophet, did not keep the commandments of the law. But you could have those all perfect too. Probably more likely. You're speaking of the result of everything that happened.
Could you make it predictive and leave the we don't have a participle. Perfect.
Yeah, that's the problem. You see, if you had an imperfect, then you could make it a sequence.
Mm-hmm.
But you have a participle, if that's the participle here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, that's taking, so that wouldn't make any difference. But you're kind of tough here.
Isn't
the one case?
Ryoma, Ryoma?
Oh, yeah.
Can you go to the...
Well, yes, but see, that's okay as far as the main sequence. But now you've got a quotation. Vayomer Hanavi. Once you start the quotation, that quotation does not derive anything from the Vayomer. That's all by itself. That's independent.
I thought it was like the imperfect, and it went to the perfect like a sequence, but you translated it.
Well, no, not when you get quotation, though. When you get quotation like this, when you start a quotation, that isn't part of the series.
In fact, does the participle break the sequence at all?
Well, yes, a participle would, you know, throwing a participle in, if you were going along in a sequence, so throwing a participle in would break it up, sure.
And the quote,
even if you considered
the quote
a sequence.
Breaks the sequence too?
What?
Are you saying the quote breaks the sequence too?
Right, the quote will break it in effect. Now, in a way, yes, in a way, no. The quote's kind of a... parenthesis within the thing. So you could have Vayomer Hanavi, blah blah blah, to get the whole quotation, and then Vayomer Yahweh, you know, and so forth. And in other words, you could be picking up the sequence with the narrative of the statements that are made, but then there's a parenthesis in there where you might structure a new verb, so we might start a whole new sequence in the parenthesis, but then be able to resume your sequence back here because this was not part of the main clause of the sentence. I mean, the main structure of the narrative. So it's kind of, we'll have fun with those things. I think there are chapters coming up that are going to help us see what does break up sequence, what doesn't, and how, and all of that. So we'll get the refinement necessary. Well, that's all for today. We won't have any more things for next time. We have to finish this up. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yes. Okay. Vaikas is from the same root, it's from the same